Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, podcast people in podcast land. Hello to all the Lepsters in Lepland. This podcast is sponsored by iTalkie, and you can use iTalkie to improve your speaking skills. And your speaking skills are really vital. If you are thinking of using English for any reason in the future, you're probably going to be doing speaking. Listening to Luke's English podcast can definitely help your listening a lot. But if you want to push the speaking and push your fluency further, so it's better, so you become more fluent and more confident, you need to speak to native English speakers, and you can do that with my podcast sponsor, iTalkie. Just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk to check out iTalkie, and you can take advantage of the offer that they are giving to all of my listeners. That is basically a voucher. They'll give you, if you buy some lessons, they will give you a voucher. The voucher's worth about 100 iTalkie credits, which is roughly $10. Which is a nice discount on any other English lessons that you purchase in the future, okay? teacherluke.co.uk/talk, or just click an iTalkie logo on my website. Right, so now let's get started with this episode properly, and here is the jingle! You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everybody. Here is another new episode of Luke's English Podcast. I've been very productive recently. That's just because I've had a little bit of free time. I say free time. To be honest, I should have been using this time to do other things. I've got a big pile of exam papers on my table, which all need to be marked. But I thought that I was going to be involved in the filming of a television show this week. But as is often the way in show business, that got cancelled, and there's a story involved. You've heard part of that story already. That's the one with the thing about the accents that we mentioned in not the last podcast, but the podcast before last. But anyway, the TV thing fell through, so that's not happening. You'll hear about that in this episode. But no, I've uploaded a bunch of new episodes in rather quick succession recently, just because I've had the time. And again, I haven't really had the time. I should have been doing other things, but sometimes I just feel like uploading episodes, or I feel like producing episodes. I produce them, and then they're ready, and I can't hold on to them. If I've got episodes done, they have to be published. I don't know why. I know it's maybe not the smartest way of producing this podcast, that probably the most effective way would be to upload one on the same day every week, but that's just not the way I'm doing it. So I've got another one for you now, and you're listening to it. So I'm going to try not to spend too much time on an introduction to this episode, because often, as you well know, my rambling gets a little out of control. So I'm not going to try and I'm going to try not to go into too much detail at the front here, except to say that in this episode you're going to hear another rather fast conversation between this time four native speakers recorded for you to listen to. You're going to hear the Pod Pals, that's Amber, Paul, and me, the Thrilling Three, or the Tangential Trio, having our weekly chat on the terrace in the sunshine. But this time we are joined by a fourth member to our team in the form of Tom Morton, a friend of ours from the stand-up comedy scene here in Paris. You might remember that Tom has been mentioned briefly on this podcast before a number of times, and that we've established that Tom looks a bit like Dave Grohl, the drummer from Nirvana, and he also looks a bit like Tim Curry, an actor who appears in the film The Rocky Horror Picture Show. So both of those things have been mentioned in episodes previously. So the name Tom Morton has come up. But those are the only things you know about him. So just to fill you in a little bit, Let me tell you a bit about Tom Morton. So Tom is a professional actor and voiceover artist. So voiceover artist, that means that he provides his voice for advertising, promotional things. That's, you know, radio advertising and TV advertising usually. He's done voiceovers for TV and radio advertisements for companies like Mini, L'Oreal, Sky TV, McVitie's Biscuits, and Nintendo Wii, amongst others. He's half English and half French, and he speaks both English and French like a native. You might be thinking to yourself, what's Tom's accent? Does he have a French accent? No, he doesn't. You're going to find out, obviously, for yourself what his accent sounds like in a minute when you listen to him. But in English, basically, he speaks with received pronunciation, which, as you may know, is essentially that kind of neutral British English accent that we associate with things like the BBC and the universities, and probably Luke's English podcast as well. Received pronunciation has no particular regional inflections. And, you know, Tom's voice doesn't have particular regional a particular regional accent, although he spent lots of time in West London when he was growing up. So basically, he speaks a bit like me, but he has his own unique sound in his voice, of course, just like we all do. You will discover that in a moment. As ever, I'm keen to know what you think. What do you think of Tom's voice? Leave your comments on the website. So first, you will hear the three of us welcome Tom onto the podcast and then give him a sort of job interview as part of his initiation onto Luke's English podcast. After a couple of minutes, though, that job interview just goes downhill and then is abandoned. Then we just mess around, letting you know a bit about Tom, doing some improvised voiceovers on a few royalty-free Apple jingles that I have on my computer, before the conversation then goes on off... Sorry. Huh? I can't speak my own language. So we do a few voiceover things, and then the conversation goes off on a number of tangents. What a surprise. And those tangents cover these things. So you will hear us going off on tangents about the complexities of explaining puns and jokes in English, doing voiceovers on adverts for a product called the Mega Knife, a knife that is so sharp that it can cut through a shoe. We talk a bit about the Queen's birthday, because this episode was recorded on the Queen's birthday, the 21st of April. We talk about what British people think of the monarchy, the death of Princess Diana, public reactions to tragedies, like, for example, when a famous person dies. And this conversation was recorded just a few hours before we all learned that another great celebrity had died. And of course, I'm talking about the American musician Prince, because Prince died yesterday. We recorded this conversation before we found out that Prince had died. But it seems very timely, because we do talk about public reactions to those moments when famous people die. And that, you know, Prince, I can't believe it. That's just another legend who died this year after, you know, we had Lemmy from Motorhead, David Bowie, of course, George Martin, the producer of the Beatles, and a bunch of other people, including British celebrities that you might not know, like Terry Wogan, Paul Daniels, Ronnie Corbett, and Victoria Wood. You might not know who they are, but they were all much loved comedians and entertainers from the UK who died this year. So we will talk a little bit about public reactions to the death of famous people. We also talk a little bit about when old people say racist things, like, for example, Prince Philip or your grandparents. Amber's son Hugo has learned a new word. We talk about getting a letter from the Queen on your 100th birthday, because that's what happens if you ever get to 100 in the UK. The Queen will send you a letter. So what happens if the Queen gets to 100? Does she send herself a letter? You hear about the drama of Paul and me getting attacked by flying insects, specifically ladybirds. Amber's story about a woman she saw recently whose scarf had slipped down between her bum cheeks, making it look like she had a tail. So Amber tells a little story about how she saw a woman with an embarrassing looking tail. and then how she rescued her. Okay. We'll talk about the moment that, you might hear the moment when one of my neighbours, during the recording of the conversation, one of my neighbours burps very loudly in the background from the window of another apartment. So there's a moment there of sort of an interruption because one of my neighbours burps loudly, which is pretty ridiculous. And then finally, we talk about which members of the Fantastic Four we would be. And I think that I'm Mr. Fantastic because I suppose I'm the leader of the group. Amber is the Invisible Woman because since she's had a baby, apparently she has become invisible to men. So she's the Invisible Woman. Paul is the Human Torch because he's on fire sitting in the sun with his semi-ginger hair and because he's so hot right now in the world of comedy. And Tom, our special guest today, is the Thing. Because he's neither French nor English, he's just, according to him, an amorphous blob. So a sort of non-specific lump of a creature. Obviously, he looks a lot more, it looks a lot nicer than the Thing, as you'll discover as we talk to him in this episode. So yes, this conversation is a real mix of both serious and light-hearted topics. And yes, I am aware that the conversation moves pretty fast and we talk over each other quite a lot. That's just what happens when a bunch of friends get together like this. It might be a difficult episode to follow, or maybe not. Maybe you'll have absolutely no problem keeping up with this. But in any case, I hope that you just enjoy listening to another completely spontaneous conversation between a group of Brits who are getting a bit too much sun on their heads. You should also know that there is some swearing in this episode. So watch out, there's some swearing. So there you go, you've been warned. Also, we're not in this episode talking about the results of the interactive lying game from the previous episode. So we're not talking about the interactive lying game results. That's going to come in another episode soon. Okay, so that's enough introduction. I will now just let you listen to another outdoor episode of Luke's English Podcast featuring the talkative trio with Tom Morton.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is a journey into
the English language.
A journey into
the DNA of the English language.
Really?
The DNA of the English language. Now, that's a really quite a strong claim.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Who are you?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
You know who I'm talking to.
I'm a school teacher. I teach English composition.
Oh, really?
Yes!
So, Paul, introduce the conversation. Go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Luke's English Podcast once again. We are sat outside once again in the terrace. And if I
in
say
the
once
terrace. you can't sit in a terrace.
That is incorrect grammatically.
Only correct English, at least in the first 5 minutes of an episode, please. Amber, you have a go. Go on.
We are at Luke's flat, sitting on his lovely sunny terrace with Luke and Paul and Tom has joined us today.
That's right. Usually we have, in these sessions, we just have the thrilling three or the pod pals or the tangential trio. But recently we had a comment from a listener called Olga, you might remember. She said, Luke, you, Paul and Amber are like a great power. You remind me of the Fantastic Four, but I think you need someone else for a complete set. So today we do have a fourth member of the team joining us. His reputation precedes him, perhaps, because...
I've heard this. I'm quite afraid.
You just heard the voice of Tom Morton.
Oh, yes.
Welcome to the podcast, Tom.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you know that your name has come up?
I heard a rumour that I had been mentioned, what I don't know. I don't know specifically in what context. I believe that references were made to horses and to Dave Grohl.
Dave
horses?
Grohl.
Yeah.
No horses.
I don't know. I always feel
Dave
that
Grohl.
I look a little bit like Dave Grohl had an affair with a horse. That's
what,
just something. I'm the offspring of this unholy union.
But isn't Tim Curry involved in that?
I think he was watching. Tim is a bit of a pervert in that respect.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you can imagine... Well, I don't ask you to imagine Dave Grohl and a horse in a stable...
At it. Like the clappers.
No, I don't ask you to imagine that, but I do ask you to imagine some kind of combination of Tim Curry, Dave Grohl, and a horse, but you know, the finest thoroughbred horse.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd imagine. And yeah.
Or you can just go to his actual website and just see what he actually looks like.
Yeah, he doesn't look
instead of
I don't
imagining
look like
all
any
stuff.
Of those
if
things.
If you're looking for some sort of, you know, horseman, like a, you know,
a centaur.
If you expect some sort of Harry Potter creature, a mystical animal, you're not going to get it, ladies and gentlemen. He's fortunately just a normal human.
It's a lot easier to get up the stairs.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, welcome to the podcast, Tom.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. Now, Amber and Paul, what I thought that we could do is sort of interrogate Tom at the beginning of the episode, just in order to...
Well, he needs to go through the initiation ceremony
process
of being on Luke's English podcast. I mean, I had to go through it. Amber's been through it.
And you've showed me the scars. They are quite impressive.
They're awful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, horrific.
Still, yeah, it's just basically my initiation process is just losing everything that we do.
Yeah.
If we have a competition, I lose. That's, you know, and I'm still not fully initiated.
Yeah. you haven't earned your stripes yet.
No, it's only until I win a game that I will be fully a part of the...
Did you not win a game? I think you won one game.
I don't remember Paul winning.
No.
What sort of games are we... I mean, is it Scrabble? Because I don't feel that's a really radio-friendly game.
It's not really, is it? No. Scrabble, no. No, no, it's...
We've played a number of games.
We have.
You need to go back and listen to the episode, Tom. No.
Tommy.
7 years worth.
First initiation qualification. You need to have at least listened to an episode, because now all my listeners are going, well, he hasn't even bloody listened to an episode.
I've listened to various bits of episodes.
Which
I started listening to the episode you did a few weeks back about English jokes and Tim Vine.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it was... wonderful rambling exercise from Luke talking around jokes. It was a lot of fun.
The irony, of course, jokes which are all just about one line,
yes,
really tight,
exactly.
And you know,
Luke, who can make a one-liner a paragraph long. I
exactly.
Think
Luke, who turns 5 minutes of stand-up comedy into 1 hour and 10 minutes of explanation of the jokes.
Well,
which sometimes happens in the live shows, especially when Russians come in.
Oh, don't go there. Actually, I've had a few comments about that Russian joke. People going, I love that. Suddenly everyone loves the Russian joke now.
We've got to explain it for Tom.
Yeah,
only Tom doesn't know about the Russian joke.
It took about 5 months for people to get the joke.
So what happened... was
oh, here we go. Here we go again, everyone.
Is it come not on. Take your time or can't? I'm Russian. No,
it wasn't
more or less.
So, that sort of
yeah,
more
or less.
Luke's,
yeah.
on, Luke's on stage at our show. Sorry, we're English. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Pan Am Art Cafe. Yes. Anyway, Luke's on stage. He's starting off, and about 15 minutes late, two people walk in, and he'd been saying, "Oh, who are you? Where are you from?" and all this kind of stuff. "Oh, welcome to the show, new people. Where are you from?" And they go, "Russian." And he goes, "Oh, you weren't Russian to come and see the show, were you? Hey."
Ba-dum-cha.
The whole audience said nothing. He then had to explain it twice. Still nothing. And then we talked about it on the podcast. And then he received a couple of comments going, "On the podcast, I don't understand the Russian joke." So we've talked about it about 10 times.
I talked about it in rather exasperated terms. I was like, all upset about it. And then... someone didn't get it, and then, but then, you know, now they do, and that's it, right? Because it's not worth it. It's not worth spending all that time on that joke.
The pun is a very complicated thing to explain, anyway. I mean, it's a quintessentially English way of joking about
really?
Things.
Really, French people love a pun.
I think it's
but theirs aren't any good.
Oh, controversial.
I'm allowed to say that. I'm half
he'll
French.
He'll get letters. He'll get letters.
Tom, to be fair, has got the pass.
He can
make fun of the French without any reprisals because he's half French. We're going to go into that later on.
Okay,
we'll delve deep into Tom Morton later.
Being Tom Morton. Okay,
yes, that's right. The subject of puns. So, yeah, talking about a five-minute Tim Vine routine does take an hour and a half because, you know, if you don't speak the language, then those puns are actually incredibly complicated. Yeah. And a one-line joke, the reason it's... the reason it's so powerful is because it contains within it so many layers and nuances of meaning that in order to untangle it and unpack it, you end up, you know, with an hour of explanation. Okay, here's an analogy. It's like guts. Okay, it's like guts because the small intestine.
We understand.
Yeah. Okay,
we understand.
You understand that.
Yeah,
you
understand.
You understand the way that
this joke is. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That something can be contained in a small space, and if you take it all out, then it stretches out over the size of a tennis court.
Feels like a Doctor Who reference now.
Mm. It does, doesn't it? A little bit obscure.
But that's true. That is very true.
Okay. You listened to the Tim Vine episode. All right.
I did.
Amber, Paul, I think we should just, as part of the initiation of Tom into this episode of the podcast, I think we should just fire questions at him.
Carpet bomb me.
Just come on. Let's imagine that this is a job interview situation and we are a panel of...
We're recruiting him onto the...
Well, it's a job interview. Okay.
I feel like I'm joining a cult.
You are, Tom.
It feels, yes.
That is exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. Luke's English podcast is a kind of a cult in the best possible way, if that's possible.
I think in the same way that Wittertainment could be a cult, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so here's the job interview situation.
Okay.
Tom has just entered the room. Hello, Tom.
Hello. Hello, Luke.
Nice to have you here at the job interview.
Thank you very much.
take a seat. Oh, you're already sitting
I'll
down.
I'll sit on this chair.
That's a good idea.
Giving context for the listeners.
Exactly, because Tom is now sitting on a chair. You can visualize.
It has been since the beginning.
That's
it's
right.
It's a formica chair.
It's a podcast.
And, very 70s.
It is.
Anyway.
Thanks for the comment about the chair, Tom. this job interview, that's not necessarily necessary. Not necessarily necessary. You can see that we like language here at Luke's English Podcast. So... we're just going to fire questions at you. It's a job interview. That's what happens, isn't
fire
it?
Fire away.
Okay. Just one thing you should know, that there's no pay in this job.
Right.
Okay.
So a lot like a lot of the jobs I do.
Right.
Perfect.
Okay. Amber, do you want to start? Have you got any questions?
Why, Tom, are you uniquely qualified for this job?
Well, let me answer your question with a question.
Go ahead.
What exactly does this job entail?
You mean you didn't do your research?
I did a certain amount of research, but I like to hear it from the horse's mouth,
so to speak.
Are you calling me a horse?
No. We're calling... Anyway, I think we've already called
we've
Tom
called
a horse.
He called himself a horse.
Okay, so should we forget the contrived job interview
analogy? That went downhill pretty quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Luke's master plan there. Oh, let's do this job interview. Okay, one question down. Fuck it, let's stop doing it.
How about we talk about, let Tom tell us a bit about Tom.
Tom, who are you? What are you doing here?
Well, I'm a journey. No, I've been living in Paris for 12 years and I'm an actor. I think is the word that we're supposed to use to describe ourselves. I think to all intents and purposes, I'm permanently unemployed. And occasionally I do films and theatre and things like that. I've been doing stand-up comedy with, well, you three, you know this, but sort of for the listeners out there. I also do a lot of voice work. So I voice commercials and documentaries and... that sort of thing. So I make my living from talking nonsense. So I really feel I'm going to fit in beautifully here.
It's funny.
With the tangential three.
It's funny you should say that, Tom. That you do voiceover work.
Oh no!
Because I've been on your website. Let's have a little. Do you mind if I play one or
no,
two?
No, it depends which one. I suppose.
I don't know if there's any copyright infringement involved in playing these.
Only if you start making money off it. So I think we're okay.
That's not likely.
No.
no fear.
Let's have sports promo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Because that's not a commercial one, is it? It's just a sample.
It's a sports promo. I don't think it's even a real one.
It's not a real one. Okay. So this is Tom doing a voiceover for a sports promo. Some sort of sports channel. Here we go.
Yes.
A whole weekend of pure, solid, unadulterated sport for every Sky customer. If you don't already receive Sky Sports, you will for free. You're watching Sky Sports.
So obviously that was Sky Sports, the little free promo for Sky Sports on the podcast.
I'm sure they'll be very, very grateful.
Okay. What's your favourite one?
Oh, gosh. I think my favourite ones are always the ones for cosmetics and for perfume.
All right.
Because they're the ones where you have to sound most mysterious and, in my opinion, ridiculous. So there's one there for a perfume where you sort of talk very close to the microphone.
Is that L'Oreal Revitalift?
Oh, God, no,
there's
that was awful.
There's an angel one, isn't there?
There's an angel one.
Angel's pretty good.
Angel 25s. Yeah. Okay, let's have a listen to Angel 25s. This is Tom Morton doing a voiceover.
There's a lot of music at the top of it. So.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. True.
Scan through it, if you ask me. Oh, yeah.
Scan through some of the music.
Otherwise, you're going to get Eva Mendes singing. That's not me.
Tom, your voice is wonderful.
That is why I make a living from this. Of your mind.
Angel, the eau de toilette, Thierry Mugler.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
My favourite, though,
what's
of yours.
Favorite,
I mean, I must admit, I've not listened to them all.
I'm slightly worried. You've listened to a lot of this
but,
stuff.
Well, it was just, you know, I got here early. But the you did one for Radio 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, those were me having fun. Those aren't even real.
Oh, are they not?
No.
Oh,
and I
just took the BBC.
I love Radio 4.
Let's listen to Tom's Radio 4 link.
There are a couple of joke ones in there as well.
So this is not a real one. This is just you sort of.
But
like
it could be a real
fun,
one.
Having
it,
some
it
fun. Might as well be.
Okay, let's have a listen to the Radio 4 link.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4. Coming up next, Mark Lawson introduces Front Row. But first, we join Sarah Reynolds for the news and weather.
Very
and
good.
Tom, did you want to say, introduces, you know, Front Row, and he'll be reviewing the fantastic film / theatre piece with Tom Morton in it.
That would have been very self-referential. and the answer is yes, definitely.
I think Front Row
but
is
I
the best
I will
program.
Probably end up doing some links for Luke's English podcast, which I think will be the most BBC.
Go on, give us a Luke's English podcast
then.
Let me see.
Do you want any music in the background?
Oh, please, yes.
Yeah, you've got to have the jingle.
Yeah.
Give me the jingle.
Right,
that's the jingle you've put in.
All right, okay. No, I've got the
original
instrumental
one.
Version of that jingle here somewhere. Let me just
find
it.
Yeah, I tried doing this and it failed.
Let me just find that for you. Okay, here we go.
Hola, bienvenidos a Lux English Podcast. Todos los días.
No, it's not that one. I want this one.
I could have definitely done that one.
It's just about 15 seconds, all right?
Okay.
Hello, you're listening to Luke's English Podcast, learning English with laughter.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
It's going to keep that.
Yeah,
that was
good.
I actually
do the intro to my show.
I asked Tom and Luke, I was doing a podcast about Versailles, and I asked Tom and Paul, to be kings, various Louis. They had like a little tiny thing to say. And then when I got to the studio and they were cutting them, they're like, ooh, that one's good. You know, for you, I think Louis the 14th.
I was someone very regal and pretentious, yes.
And they were like, ooh, that's good. And then we had to re-record.
Really? You had to
re-record Paul's.
Didn't sound kingly enough, they said.
I've got a young voice, apparently.
Too young.
Today
you
I don't, because I've got a
youthful.
I've got a sore throat. But
you have a young face as well.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that last week.
Every time really? I've
a
been...
A lemur or something.
He's got naive eyes.
That's
oh,
right.
Yeah, that was it.
Doe eyes. Take the glasses off and then...
take the glasses
it's
off.
Okay, it's radio.
Let down your hair. You're beautiful.
That's my Superman thing. It's like, oh, hi. No one will recognise me in the street.
Take the glasses off and then... Just put them back on.
The bigger ones.
Okay, who else wants to do a voiceover? Paul, do you want to try one?
Go for it.
In English? Yeah, I'll do it in English.
Yeah, in English, yeah. You can do one in French if you like. I'm going to give you a random jingle, completely randomly selected. You ready? You just say some stuff. I don't know, what are you advertising? Luke's English Podcast?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, here we go.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. Funny times on the balcony with Luke.
Nice.
I didn't realise the jingle was going to go on for that long. You didn't tell me how it
was. All right. Very good. Thank you. So, Amber.
Oh,
What kind of thing do you want?
I don't know.
You give her the choice. Don't give me the choice.
I don't know.
I think that we should have something kind of
some dubstep.
I think
for
we should
Amber,
have maybe something like this. I'm not sure what this is going to be like, but let's.
Well, I can't think of something to say.
Have you thought of anything yet?
Not really. I'll see what comes out.
Talk about Luke's. Yeah, you just don't think, just speak.
Okay,
that's my
then.
Philosophy.
We know.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast, taking language and doing unusual things with it.
And ripping off Norah Jones songs as well.
Yeah.
That's not Norah Jones.
It sounds exactly
it sounds
like
so Norah Jones-ish.
What's the song?
Don't know why
I didn't come. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Well, don't blame me. That's just blame Steve Jobs.
Oh, is that an Apple loop?
It's an Apple loop.
I blame it on the boogie.
What are those that you're playing?
These are all
GarageBand loops.
GarageBand royalty-free jingles.
How do you even find them?
Where are they? They were just on my...
I've been looking for these. I can't find them.
You can search for them on your computer.
I've looked.
Yeah. Have you got a Mac?
Yeah.
How old is it?
It's not that old.
Does Luke's English Podcast also do a sort of Mac support service? Because there seems to be.
Maybe, yeah, a little bit.
When I'm on it.
I need help. I'm looking for a podcast jingle. and it's right. very hard.
Just well, maybe the listeners rules. Would like to put something together and send it in
yeah.
for Amber. I mean, sure. is that Amazing. Something...
No, that's something that
Do we have
could
some technologically astute people in Podland?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you...
New competition.
If you've got any good jingles out there for Amber, because yeah. she needs... what's the project? Can you tell us?
It is a podcast about Paris.
Okay, it's like a history podcast,
it's
right?
Like a history podcast.
I'm sensing accordions...
No.
Some guitar.
It's kind of about like unusual jazz. Kind of things that happened in Paris.
Something like yeah. something like this.
No.
That's like a news thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
like, I'm and now.
could you put your microphone to that? Because I want to do a thing on that.
Okay.
Okay. This is the Economics Podcast. Today, we're going to be looking at money. And not just looking at it, picking it up. Counting it, playing with it. And then ultimately, spending it on pizzas. Welcome to the Economy Podcast. Economics Podcast.
Spontaneity is so tough.
I love it.
It really is. It's
but you're right.
Nightmare.
You know, a jingle is important, even if it's just a few seconds.
Well, that's one of the things.
It kind of sets the tone.
I often get asked to do for TV channels or radio stations what we call bumpers, and the bumpers are just little introductions between two shows. So, if you're enjoying blah blah blah, then stay tuned because it's up again next. That sort yeah. of thing. And you have to do that massively irritating voice. Hey, right. everything's really exciting.
Have you ever had to sell, you know, in those shops that sell stuff for the kitchen and things, have you ever had to sell one of those knives that can cut through a shoe? You know the ones I mean?
With the new Mega Knife, you can now cut through two shoes at the same time. Now, if your shoes are really, really getting on your nerves, take it out on a shoe with a Mega Knife. But wait. There's more. Because if you buy a Mega Knife, and so on and so on.
If you buy a Mega Knife, we'll give you another Mega Knife free, because actually, it's worth half the value that you thought it was.
And frankly, we can't sell these. I can't even give them away.
I know that no one out there actually needs to cut a shoe, but let's try and convince you that you do. Why are they always trying to make us buy knives that cut shoes?
I think it's to replace, you've got a pair of shoes you like. You don't want to commit to sandals, but it's the summer.
If you like to get fresh air.
You can cut through dry leather, so why not? It can cut through wet meat is what they're trying to say.
Do you need a knife
get
that's
rid
gonna...
of the body? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, you cut through steak, you know. It's like,
sorry.
The knife is so powerful, not only will it cut through steak that's raw, it will cut through cooked dry leather.
Maybe they only sell these in England.
I've seen them on markets.
Really?
Yeah, in Paris.
I've not seen the
thing cutting
through shoes.
I don't think I'm watching
shoes.
The same...
If
Television.
You walk around Paris, there are in some of the marchés in Paris, you've got chaps actually doing the demonstration live.
Do they cut a shoe?
Yes.
No.
I've seen it happen.
Really?
No way.
They don't just use the video. They're putting me out of work. They are doing it themselves.
Wow.
And there are just dead, beheaded shoes everywhere.
Oh my
just
gosh.
Half a shoe.
Half a shoe.
What a waste of a good half a shoe.
Or an old woman could live in that.
With all of her children.
Yeah.
And then they could write a rhyme about it.
Hmm.
Because that was a reference to a rhyme that my listeners... What's the old Mother Hubbard?
No, she lived in a cupboard, didn't she?
Right. No, old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard.
Yeah.
And it was bare.
And who lived in a shoe then?
There
was an old woman
who
lived in a
shoe. We don't know her name.
Right.
She had so many children she didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children she didn't know what to do. And then we came along and cut that shoe in half.
Because that's the Conservative government window tax on shoes. There we go.
Yes.
A little bit of politics there, ladies and gentlemen, on Luke's English Podcast.
Touching all bases.
quite literally touching all the bases there on the podcast this afternoon. So, Tom, voiceover artist, you've done a number of these different things that we just heard of there. You also voiced the Mini Cooper advert, is that right?
I did, yes, if I still do, occasionally.
Can you give us a blast of the Mini Cooper?
Yeah, well, the weird thing about that one is I ended up voicing both the Queen.
Really?
And her esteemed servant. And so I find myself having a conversation with myself. So I could get maybe Paul to be the queen.
No, no, it was just I think you were just pointing at me because we were talking about the queen. It's the queen's birthday today, everyone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Queen's birthday.
We've got an in,
we have to all stand, don't we?
Do we?
No. Do we have to stand and sing the national anthem?
No, we don't.
No, I don't think anyone would appreciate that.
Like, one thing that my listeners should know is that in the we're not quite as sort of patriotic or reverential about the royal family as many people expect us to be in the UK.
Or as many other people are. Like, you know, more people like the Queen than we do, I think.
Right, like... Yeah.
And they're welcome to her.
Yeah. You know, well... Here you go. You want a bit of Queen? There you go. There she is. You're welcome to her.
We can cut the shoe off or... Yeah, the whole
right.
thing.
That's right. We've got plenty of monarchy to spare. We can cut you off a chunk if you want. Anyway, so it is the Queen's birthday today. We were going to talk about that. But just before we do go on to the Queen and, you know, before we come on to the Queen, as it were, and talk about the royal family a little bit. Tom, you were talking about a voiceover job you did for Minnie, which involved Her Majesty's voice. Go on.
Speaking a little bit like this.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. And Your Majesty...
And the servant coming and going, Your Majesty, the situation is absolutely terrible. I hear that they're going to be selling Mini Coopers to the French.
Yes, James, I'm afraid so, but it's the crisis. The economic crisis demands it.
You've got his website out, isn't it?
I think it's in French.
Oh,
so,
yeah. If you go to France.
So it's the Queen speaking French.
And then it's
with an English accent.
Mini Docklands. Blasphemy.
Which is funny because she's actually German.
It's in French.
All right, all
she
right.
probably does speak French.
Vous avez accepté qu'on propose la mini Docklands avec jantes en alliage, volant sport et le climatisation manuel pour seulement 15,790 euros.
Yes.
Mais Majesté, de plus en plus de Français vont pouvoir conduire une mini.
We have to translate.
We do.
Because this is Luke's English podcast.
So, well, that was the actual one you heard. So, you were just going to know.
That was the real thing.
Yeah, so you can just do the rest in English.
I don't remember the rest of it. It was a long time ago.
I mean,
I was
more
young
or less.
And I needed the... but essentially, it was the Queen being informed that the French were going to be able to afford to drive Mini Cooper cars, which the English were feeling quite strongly about and didn't like the idea of at all. And the Queen explaining that, yes, but that's just because the economic crisis is such that we have no choice. Yeah. We need to lower our standards.
Can we have the Queen's voice?
I mean, ironically, it's a German company, so...
Well, yes.
But the Queen is German anyway,
that's
so
true.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Controversial.
It is.
I didn't realise Philip was a third cousin.
Yeah. Philip, Prince Philip, her husband
that's
is
Prince
her third,
Philip to you.
Her third cousin.
Yeah.
And he's Greek.
And I had to Google what third cousin meant because I didn't.
What does third cousin mean then, Paul?
So basically, just Google and Wikipedia third cousin. Can't be asked.
He's a relation.
What the hell?
That's actually what she said.
So you just said no to that request, didn't you? I was like, explain what a third cousin is. And Paul's
no.
Like, no.
I can't be bothered.
It's basically the relationship.
I'm not even interested. I just don't care. Matter. I don't want to
family.
I don't
related.
Want him to explain either.
They're
it's
related.
Such a boring question.
All right.
They're related.
Wow.
Fucking hell.
Is this something that happens?
Ganging up.
Fucking hell. All right.
You've unleashed a demon.
We all thought you were so nice, Amber, with your lovely voice, and now you're telling me that...
No, I don't want
filling.
To hear.
You don't want to hear what a third cousin is.
I want to hear more about the Queen's birthday. I want to hear the Queen's voice done by Tom.
Is,
I want to hear
is,
about
right.
the birthday.
It is today my 90th birthday. It's not really my birthday today, because I'm a queen, so I have two birthdays.
Why do you have two birthdays, Your Majesty?
Because I'm the queen. I can do what I like. And so I celebrate the official birthday... And then later in the year, I celebrate my real birthday.
So I get twice her actual, as many... Your actual birthday's today, Queenie.
I'm 90. I don't know what's going on.
I've been looking this up.
Go on then, Paul. What's explain this. If Amber's all right with it,
we don't mind.
As long as Amber agrees.
Is it less complicated than third
Just look it up on Wikipedia. It can't be us.
Crying out loud. No. So the great podcast. Welcome to Luke's English podcast. So you want to learn English? Just look it up on Wikipedia. That's not hard. That's the end of the podcast. Good night.
It's not difficult.
No, the Queen's actual birthday is today. She's actually 90 today, but her official
looking
birthday
good.
Is in June. And the reason she has two birthdays is because the weather in England is shit. And so it's not a joke. Back when they started doing this in 17 whatever, the king at the time, his birthday was in November. And so they were like, well, why don't you celebrate it in June when the weather's going to be better? He went, all right, cool. And since then, every monarch has had two birthdays.
Right.
Their real birthday and then the one where the English people come out with their flags and go, woo!
Is that what they do?
That's how we sing Happy Birthday. We the Queen comes out,
which we're
go,
too drunk because we don't know the words.
You never celebrated a royal anything?
No.
Marriage, funeral, otherwise?
Well, I was born when Prince Charles married Lady Diana. I mean, that was...
As a result.
You were born.
It was my fault. No. I was born on the day they got married. And
really?
I like to think that I lasted slightly better than they did.
Well, he's still around.
Yep.
Have you never
She's
participated
not.
In a royal event?
Well, I mean, I haven't...
There was a streaking incident, wasn't there?
let's not talk about that now. I may... Well, I don't think I celebrated a royal event, but I have been in... I've watched stuff on the TV. Does that count? What do you mean?
I watched Kate and Williams.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because it was happening and I was in the middle of a training session at Apple and it was lunchtime. I was like, oh, I'll just turn the TV on. And it was fun. It was just fun to see the...
I quite enjoy the spectacle of watching royal stuff happening. Like the
how awkward it is.
The wedding was quite a good spectacle, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah,
you know, I didn't watch it.
That was my second royal wedding that I watched.
Yeah, you watched the which
watched
one?
Fergie.
Right, waving like a crazy person from the car.
That dress.
And then she joined the Black Eyed Peas, which nobody saw coming.
Had no idea.
Who knew?
I went to that. I also went to Diana's funeral.
You went to Diana's funeral?
You know, they had a big procession in London.
Oh, yeah,
oh sorry,
that.
I thought you were invited, you were saying.
No, I wasn't at the graveside.
But you actually went into the city and...
Well, I was living in London at the time.
Right.
And I remember where I was when Diana died.
Where were you?
I was in a club called GAY.
I know the owner of that.
Do you? It doesn't exist anymore.
What were you doing
there? It still exists.
Dancing.
I was dancing.
Right. And what happened? It's like, stop the music. There's been the Princess Diana has been involved in a car crash. Good night.
Well, it was
she
no.
Was a GAY
we were
icon.
As we she was a GAY icon. So as we were leaving, the boys on the coat check said, one of them said to us, "Diana's dead," and someone else said, "Diana who?" And my friend said, "Well, it's not Diana Ross," which I thought was pretty quick. And then we left, and London. So it was about 5 a.m. And everyone was talking about it, you know, bus drivers and in coffee shops, and everyone was just, there was this sort of real community spirit. Everyone was having a sort of, couldn't believe it was true, so stuck with me.
I was too young, really.
Yeah. My dad woke me up to tell me, and I looked at him and went, why? Uh-huh. Why did you tell me that? I was sleeping.
It may be worth establishing here that, here's a question. What do people in the UK actually think about Diana? And sub question, is it what, like, many people around the world might expect? Because people seem to have the idea that we all universally love Diana and that we all universally love the royal family. Is that true? Was everyone really shocked about Diana's death? What's the general feeling about that?
I don't know. I was too young.
Yeah.
I think people are shocked about Diana's death because obviously she's a public figure, but she had two young sons. It was very sad to see William and Harry sort of crying and the funeral went past and there was, to mum or something. I mean, it was very, very sad. I mean, that's sad and that's sad for everyone. But what was curious about her funeral was this sort of hysterical mass hysteria. I mean, she was a public figure and people liked her, but it didn't seem very British.
Oh.
Okay. Well, also, I watched a French documentary the other day about the Queen. The other day, it was a couple of weeks ago, about how she was she got slammed in the British press and by the British public because she didn't say anything or do anything.
She didn't issue a statement for quite some time.
And then eventually, the way the French documentary put it, like, eventually through pressure, she was like, "Oh, I guess I have to say it's very sad." She went out and said it's sad, and then left. And but that was like a low point in the.
She
Queen's
thought it was a private
thing.
Matter. You see that, that Diana died, and from the point of view of the Queen, it was a private family matter, and so they were grieving privately, and the rest of the country was like, "When's the Queen going to say
but
something?"
And
she didn't say something for ages, and then after eventually she was like. Forced out there, prodded by Tony Blair. I think really, Mom, you ought to speak about this. And so she's like, I've been told that I have to speak to the country about the Queen, and it's a private matter, but we're all very upset. Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah. And well, didn't she? And
that was
the French documentary made it out that they hated each other.
Well, I mean, there was a film a few years back by Stephen Frears, I think, called The Queen, which really did.
Oh, with
Helen
Mirren.
With Helen Mirren. And that was very much the central premise and plot of the film.
Was it?
It takes place in the immediate aftermath of Diana's death.
Okay.
And deals with, and it looks at how the Queen dealt or failed to deal and address the situation. And yeah, there is very much, as Luke was saying, that feeling that it was a private matter and that it was not British, as Amber said, to go out and issue statements about this sort of thing because it was a personal family matter. But there was
really
a demand.
Enjoying that kind of painting the Queen as like a villainous,
absolutely
sort of wicked woman who hated Diana. They were all against her, and Diana was this sort of, you know, doe-eyed creature there.
Well, that was
amongst
certainly
these
what
wicked...
she'd set herself up as.
Yeah, I mean, she was a master of, you know, marketing or, you know, manipulating
public relations,
yeah,
public feeling. But yeah,
so yeah, okay.
And it's certainly my own feelings on the matter. I mean, I was relatively young when it happened too, but I think I remember feeling the same sort of thing I feel whenever a celebrity dies, whoever that celebrity is a sort of mass hysteria unfurls. And these days we have Facebook and things like that, which add to that hysteria, and the communication happens that much faster. Mm. And we seem, as a society, to get upset about the passing of complete strangers,
yeah,
in a way which I continue to find a little bit baffling. It's,
you know, I think it depends on like if they've had an impact on you, or, you know, like the Victoria Wood who's just passed away. Like
British comedian Victoria Wood.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know who she is. So for me, it's like but a lot of people do, and a lot of people respected her comedy, and I think that, you know, if you're in the limelight, you're in the limelight, which means that a certain amount of people follow what you do, and whatever those certain amount of people that are your fans or whatever, if something happens to you, then they feel, it's like when Steve Jobs died, you know, there were the people that, you know, went to all the Apple stores and dropped all the post-it notes and like the flowers and stuff like that, because, you know, whether they had Apple products or whatever, and they just respected his vision of life, and they used the products. And then there was the other people who, you know, used Android and were against Apple, who were like, oh, why is everyone, you know, crying about Steve Jobs when some other person just died and no one gives a shit.
Yeah,
it goes
yeah.
back to the same thing, like the same argument of like when the attacks in Paris happened last year. Everyone was like, oh yeah, everyone changed their flag on Facebook, but no one changed their flag for the stuff that was happening in Beirut at the same time.
Mm.
And it's just, for me, the thing that angers me, it's like, well, that's like, for me, the people like complaining about that is the same people, you might as well complain about the fact that the week that Star Wars came out, all the media were talking about Star Wars in December, yet there were 20 other films that came out on the same day. No one cared. You know, I guess you talk about what impacts you as a person, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
So if you in generally hate one of the, like, if people hated Diana, they were like, well, why is everyone crying? Mm. Doesn't make sense.
Well, I didn't hate Diana at all. I think fundamentally, and this is sort of probably where I was trying to go with this, is I just don't care.
Yeah.
And I think there is, as Paul was saying earlier, this notion that, you know, the world is obsessed with the British royal family in a way which a huge number of British people don't quite understand.
Yeah, I certainly like them despite themselves.
What, the Brits?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, people think that they don't care, but then you do a little bit.
My personal feeling is that I'm sort of okay with having the monarchy. You saw, of course, I've got a picture of the bloody Queen on the wall.
Yeah, you've put it back up. You took it down. And
yeah, because we changed the shelving unit.
Oh, okay.
And there was a space on the wall.
Yes, I saw that.
And there was a hook there.
A hole.
I was like, well, might as well put this back up. But I do have
it's where it belongs.
So I've got a picture of the Queen on the wall, right?
What's she wearing?
Wait a minute. Now, that's...
Is it ironic?
Like, it's ironic. Yeah.
Is it ironic?
Well, not completely ironic. No, it's not actually, because it's not as simple as just like, hey, let's put a picture of the Queen on the wall. That'll be funny. It's actually the picture itself, I think, is a nice picture, and
it
also
is a nice picture.
It's from like 1952.
So she was looking pretty good.
And she's looking pretty good. And also just the picture itself and the frame and the way it's been printed, the print quality and all that sort of thing. It's more like pop art for me rather than some statement of a political opinion, you know?
That certainly is a very good way of explaining have a picture of the Queen in your family.
And that picture has been on the wall in my family's house since I was a kid, you know?
Oh, okay.
So it's got an emotional attachment.
Right, okay.
But it's not a political statement.
No, but it is a nice picture. But just coming back to what Paul said, you know, I think people do get very upset about these public figures. And it's true, it's because it touches their life. It's a way of people expressing an emotion, you know, about themselves. Mm. And in the same way people are upset about Diana or about David Bowie, it's not so much the person. Of course, we don't know those people. I mean, I wasn't really upset about either of them. It's more about a way to express emotion, sadness, you know, people that have been part of your life or perhaps mean something to you or could mean something to you.
Or who accompanied perhaps a specific moment in your life.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so it's not I'm sad that David Bowie, the person, is necessarily dead. I mean, obviously that's sad, you know, but he led a very good life. It's more what he represented.
He had a good time.
Yeah, he had a good time. So, and same for Victoria Wood. Same for any public figure.
And also, I suppose there's something about collective experience, isn't there? Mm. That when someone, like such a high-profile person like that, that for one reason or another, people are moved by, you know, because they accompanied them through certain moments in their life or they feel sympathy towards the plight of that person for whatever reason. Everyone actually experiences that together. And so when a person dies, first of all, there's the weird feeling of loss, which is a mysterious thing and difficult to understand if you actually care about that person for whatever the reason. And then also everyone else is sort of sharing it too. So we do end up with this collective sort of behaviour, like all these people who left flowers on the gates of Buckingham Palace, which was extraordinary when Diana died. So
very out of character, as Amber was saying.
Yeah, not very British, as you said. But I think that's something that did actually shock the royal family, that they suddenly realised, oh my God, there's more to this than just being in the bloodline of the royal family, that we have to think about the way that Diana used publicity and managed her image. Mm. And in fact, since then, they have actually started to manage their public image a lot more successfully. And the younger generation, you know, that Diana's kids...
William is particularly good at it.
Yeah, yes. Diana's kids, William and Harry, and now Kate as well. Are all excellent at sort of the public relations stuff. We sound a bit cynical talking about the royal family as a marketing machine.
I mean, what do they really do?
But of course they are. And I think that most Brits probably are fully aware of what the royal family really is, that it's essentially a sort of a hangover from an old system, and that they don't actually have any power. And that's exactly why that's one of their strengths, that they don't have any executive power at all. And if they did have any influence, then we'd probably get rid of them. If they started trying to throw their orb about,
that weight around,
then they probably wouldn't last very long. Yeah. Like when the Queen dies, which is, you know, it's probably a sad thing to talk about on her birthday, but she is 90 after all.
I hope they've made some provisions.
Yeah, well, when she dies, and she will, despite the fact that God has been saving her all of these years, when she does go, then she'll be replaced by Charles, if all goes according to plan. So it'll be, you know, the Queen is dead, long live the King. And then we'll get Charles, and that's interesting because what's he going to do? Because he's known for expressing his opinions on things, isn't he? And one of the reasons the Queen is so popular is because she's never expressed a political opinion in public. There has been suggestions that she's expressed her views on Europe and stuff in the past, but we don't know if it's true. But that's the only reason she's been there for that time, is that she's kept herself discreet.
Well, perhaps if Charles just sticks to commenting on organic biscuits, as he likes to do, then we should be okay.
So he tends to stick his opinions tend to stick to things like the environment and stuff.
A lot, which I think is not necessarily such a terrible thing for him to wade in on. I think perhaps international politics may be a little outside his remit, and certainly economics perhaps beyond what he really should be.
Mm. Well, I mean, the thing that's interesting, it's just a thought that I thought about now, like there's a couple of people on my Facebook, notably like my dad's friends, who like hate the Queen and hate the monarchy and hate all this stuff that we're British taxpayers are paying, blah, 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 and we're all losing out. At the end of the day, though, I think what that's contributing to is basically the country has an image, right? The whole country, the UK, has this image, and the Queen's the head of that image. And if she has a positive image, then, you know, tourists love the thing. They come in, they buy British stuff, or they come to England as tourists, and then essentially the country gains from it.
There's a huge commercial machine. I mean, I don't know what it's like in the rest of the world. It's probably quite similar. But in France, the number of shops where you can buy stuff to decorate your home,
yeah,
and it's all Union Jacks, Queen's Head, pillar boxes and all sorts of quintessentially British things. People in France, and I think probably in the US and various other places, are very enamoured of that heritage of the swinging 60s and all that.
Definitely, so. But I mean, if it's kitsch and it's sort of fetish and they don't have any real power, but it is also a sort of chunky, clunky, unfair institution. Mm-hmm. When the Queen dies, I think there'll be serious consideration to how can you dismantle this sort of juggernaut, which, you know, yes, it does bring in tourism, and I think that is very interesting, but Versailles, the plenty of tourists go there, there doesn't need to be a king. Yeah. Let's get rid of the monarchy and open up these buildings. Like, I can't imagine that would happen, but it's embarrassing. It's a little bit embarrassing, to be honest.
Yeah, it's certainly embarrassing when the Duke of Edinburgh talks.
Yes, well, that should never be allowed.
Because he has got a history of making obscenely racist remarks without even noticing. Yeah. But then he's 95.
Yeah,
well, is that an excuse?
95-year-olds I know.
I mean, anyone's very racist remarks. I mean, if you let your grandparents talk in any sort of... they are going to say embarrassing things.
Well, yes. Addie's grandmother, right, she was 95.
There we go.
And she was racist, but at the same time, she was a teenager, like she was 18 during the war. Do you know what I mean? So she's allowed to be, in a sense. Like, it's not like she's travelled since, and, you know, she grew old, and she, you know, when you've lived through something as shocking as that.
No, but it's just, you know, you look at what was acceptable at a certain time. If you look at sort of comedy from, I don't know, like, we're talking about Victoria Wood. So 30 years ago, you know, she's a contemporary of Benny Hill. I mean, it seems phenomenal that kind of comedy. So Benny Hill, he sort of basically is a dirty old man.
He's a
chases women.
He's a pervert,
around.
Right? Yes. I can guarantee that right at this moment, some people are listening to this going, I love Benny Hill. Because a lot of people, you know, Benny Hill was exported around the world.
He was. Well, because we didn't want him in England. So we shipped him out.
Along with Mr. Bean. It's like Benny Hill, Mr. Bean. These are...
And
Monty Python to an extent. But I'm much more proud of Monty Python.
I think Monty Python was not embraced in quite the same way abroad as Benny Hill.
I don't know.
Well, not on the same scale.
Well, there's six of them. It's harder to embrace them in the same way.
Long arms.
No, but I'm saying, like, what's six?
Look, I'm sorry for making a gag, but we did just talk about racism and war, so you know, let's bring it back down to the banalities of puns, shall we?
Yes. Anyway. Anybody got a fart gag they want to throw in at this point?
Maybe
you could do a sound effect.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. That would be a perfect...
add in a sound
just
effect
like,
of a
just
fart.
Like a sort of,
I
sort
don't of have a fart sound effect. I've got, what have I got? I've got this. It's like a sort of booing crowd.
That seems appropriate.
Or maybe, I don't know.
Too long.
You've had some serious beans, if that's...
That was far too long. I thought that was going to be like a little...
Badum-tish.
But it wasn't.
I think the moment's passed.
It has.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, well... That was question one. What do you do? Right? And he's a voiceover artist and the royal family and stuff.
Yes, and racism.
For question two, tune into part two of this podcast.
we go 45 minutes now.
You didn't say you wanted a concise answer.
Well, there's no such thing as a concise answer on Luke's English podcast. Okay, all right. Fine. Anything to report?
From life?
Yeah, just from general life. Oh, right. Yeah, what happened this week? It's been a week, hasn't it? It's been a week.
Since these two were on the podcast, right? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Anything happened to you in the last week? Can you remember? Remember.
Hugo's learned a new word.
What did he learn?
What word?
Well, he has been saying, like, his favourite word has been car for a long time. So he just walks.
You see a lot of them.
Yeah, I know. Mummy, car. Yes, I can see. Mummy, car, and mummy, car. So I was pleased but dismayed to find out that his new word is pigeon. Also, as many, mummy, pigeon. Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be a long week, isn't it?
Pigeon and car.
Pigeon, car.
Pigeon, car, pigeon, mummy, pigeon, car.
If you can put them together, pigeon driving a car.
Pigeon car.
Well, he hasn't got verbs yet.
Oh.
Right? He's just got nouns. Is that right?
He does have a few expressions. He can say, where are you?
Pretty good.
And I don't know.
Okay.
That's it.
Right.
Okay. So he's got some full sentences.
Kind of.
Yeah. Not very long ones, but they'll get the job done.
Yeah, they're pretty important ones. Yeah. So other than that, it's just the punchy sort of nouns then, is it mainly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right then. Fine, good. That's Paul, it. Have you learned any new words in the last week?
He's Googling
one now.
Have
I learned any new words?
You knew pigeon already.
Yeah, pigeon was fairly common. I think I had that one down.
Yeah.
I mean, I struggle with the pronunciation because the spelling's a little bit different, but I got
Tom,
that one down.
You should know that we often make fun of Paul because there's this myth going around that he doesn't know any words, and obviously it's just a myth.
I'm just trying to figure out.
I'm going
to
move because I'm
warm.
I'll switch
I'm
with you.
I'm baked. Okay. I'm no longer my usual white.
Tom has moved out of the sun and into the shade and is being replaced by Paul, who's now sitting in the sunshine.
Bravely.
And is going to spontaneously combust.
Because
shortly.
We should probably mention that. Is Tom ginger?
Ooh, there's definitely.
He's as ginger as I am.
It's a yes. To be fair, I think of you as more of a strawberry blonde.
Yeah. It's a nice way of saying ginger, isn't
ginger.
It?
Ginger.
Okay. Yeah, well, Paul is all definitely right. Blonder than I am, I think.
He's got more of a ginger beard than I have. Well, it's just because you've got more of a beard than me.
Well, yes.
I think he's a redder
more
tone.
More intense.
It's a more intense Van Gogh kind of red.
Area.
Anyway, Paul.
Yeah, nothing to report.
Really?
No, just
been emotional.
Getting on stage.
Yeah.
The last week. That's it.
Okay. All right. And you released a new episode of your podcast
on
Monday?
I did. Was that this Monday?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Monday, I don't even remember what I talked about. I'm kind of like you in those. I just talk rubbish for 30 minutes. And I don't even have a jingle at the beginning or the end. So there's not even there's not even any music to it. It's just
we'll record you some jingles.
We need some jingles.
No, I don't want jingles. I don't need jingles.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Come on, let's sort you out the jingle.
No.
All right, I'm going to do you a jingle right now. Okay.
And Tom can do the voiceover.
Absolutely.
Wait, do you want to do the voiceover for Paul's jingle? Okay. Ready? It's just randomly selected jingle.
All right. Here we go.
You're listening to Becoming a Comedian with Paul Taylor of Paul Taylor Comedy.
Arriba!
Olé!
That was pretty good.
Not bad.
I think that works.
That was good. I think
that's
you should
a keeper.
Keep it.
It's a shame we weren't recording.
You're younger than us, right? So I'm going to go for a sort of a young kind of skater kind of vibe for you now, okay?
Right,
Amber, do you want to do this one? Or
no.
Paul,
I'm going to hand
Tom,
it over to the professional.
Come on,
I'll jump in.
Hey, you're listening to Paul Taylor Comedy, How to Become a Comedian.
Okay.
I like it.
Slightly irritating, I think.
Yeah,
it works with the music.
Yeah. You've got to work with the music.
Bit of an Avril Lavigne vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does anybody remember of him?
He was a skater boy. She
was.
Said, see you later, boy.
Yes.
I do remember Avril Lavigne. Yes. I remember her outfit and her eyeliner.
So do I.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel we're just padding now. So
what about you, Luke? You've not given us your news.
Yes, what's happened with you?
I don't really have any news except that Paul and I didn't do the TV show.
No. I talked about that on my...
You didn't do the television show.
We were supposed to be filming all this week and then...
Oh, yes, of course.
To be fair, we've already told that story. And,
I'll listen to the podcast.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
No, but I mean...
No, but we haven't told the story.
I forgot that it was meant to be being filmed this week.
It was meant to be being filmed.
Well, no, because I called the guy on Friday because we hadn't heard back. So the short story is we got booked to present a TV show together.
Okay.
Which was like showing best of YouTube clips.
Okay.
And we'd been getting in touch. It was great. We did an audition. Good. We got the thing. It was like, cool. Well, I'll give you more information when the time comes. And the closer we were getting, we weren't getting any information at all. So we sent emails separately to the guy and who was a director, I guess. And we didn't hear anything back. And then we were supposed to start filming on Monday.
Hmm.
And on Friday, I was like, well, I'll call the guy. Let me call the number. So I call the number. I get to the production company. And they're like, oh, the director, he left the company like a month and a half ago. So that's why you're not getting any answers. I'm like, oh, great. Well, thanks for letting us know.
Thanks for the heads up. Yeah.
So what's happening is like, well, the project's on pause until we find another director. I'm like, oh, well, thanks for telling us.
Mm.
And he was just like, oh, sorry. I'm like, well,
yeah, no, that's
fuck
the,
you then.
The joy... I get that sort of thing all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure it's part
booking,
of the business.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, booking voice jobs, and you get someone on the phone going, so, okay, so we definitely want you on Thursday between 2 and 6.
Yeah.
So just don't take any other jobs. We definitely need you between 2 and 6. We'll confirm in the next couple of days. So yesterday I sent a message to Luke saying, yes, I am free to do the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know. This is much better than doing some highly paid voiceover job, isn't it?
In a lot of ways, yes, it really is. There's a lot more sunshine here for a start.
Yeah.
And okay. I get to say what I actually think instead.
Yeah, that's...
So we're not doing the TV show, but
that
that's
a shame.
That's okay.
Well, yeah.
TV show.
You may suddenly get a call in a week saying, so we need you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, but we're not going to be available.
Yeah, it's
we?
Just, like, I'm at that stage now where, like, for the... For the past, I don't know, not even past 4 months, it's been longer than that, because there's been a couple of gigs that we've tried to get booked for. Like, one was to go to Club Med and perform for them. One was like a random corporate gig. You remember, like, ages ago, they were like, oh, we'd like you to do your two-man show, whatever.
At our company.
Yeah, nothing has happened. Out of every proposition I've had since doing this full-time, nothing has happened. The only concrete thing is I do my show on Thursday with you, and I do my show on my own on Saturdays. That's the only concrete thing, and the other stand-up gig.
And Luke's English podcast, Paul.
And Luke's English podcast. But even that took a three-month break, because you didn't invite me back.
Four months.
What did you do?
Yeah, but it really goes to show that, you know, you need to be the motor behind anything that happens. You need to drive it forward. You've got your best interest at heart. You're the one that's most interested in furthering your career. I mean, you have to constantly be the person sort of throwing wood on the fire. And, you know, grappling with the constant, you know, being let down that Tom was just talking about, that's just the way it's going to go. Yeah. So it can get disheartening. Perhaps that's also why people give up, because they think, I can't
that
take
is
it.
Exactly,
you
why
need
a lot
to not lose
up.
Hope.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and that's starting to eat into my stand-up now.
Oh, yeah?
It's not a conversation for this podcast.
You mean you're getting angrier
this is a whole,
angrier?
Well,
angrier.
Just there's a production company that's producing my show, and like, I just want to be autonomous. You know, I quit one job where I had a boss, not to have another job where I have another boss.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
Anyway,
be the boss and hire people. That way, you can then fire them.
Talking of hiring people, do you think Tom has passed the interview?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we only got through one question, so yeah.
I think he did, but I mean, I think that shows how suitable he is for Luke's English podcast, that the podcast can be one question and it takes the entire time.
This would be the Brilliant Brits podcast.
I am the rambling man.
Hey, it's James Simpson's birthday today as well.
It is James Simpson's birthday today, yes.
He shares the birthday with the Queen.
Wished him a happy birthday.
Do you think she knows?
I think
she definitely
I'll send her a text.
Of course she does.
Hang on, let me just send her a text.
I'm sure she keeps track of all of her subjects. She's on top of the birthdays of all of the people, all of her people, isn't she?
She actually has more than two birthdays, the Queen, because she has a birthday.
What?
Yeah, because she's got her proper birthday today, her real birthday.
Yes.
Then it's officially celebrated in the UK in June. But in Australia and New Zealand and Canada, they have different days where they celebrate her birthday. And they get fucking days off for her birthday, whereas the UK don't.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's
and
not
you,
fair.
You said before that the reason that the Queen or the monarch has got two birthdays is purely because if we celebrated the real birthday, the weather would be bad.
Yeah.
So, like, well, we're going to need to choose an official birthday in June, just purely so that when there's a procession in the streets, the sun is more likely to be out.
The irony is that it is
brilliant.
A gorgeous day today.
Is it
gorgeous
in
London?
I don't know.
But the other question is, what happens if a royal is born in July?
Well, that's a good question.
Do they have to pick a day in November so that they're guaranteed
maybe
a miserable
just keep,
one
they
as well?
Just keep it
Hey, Siri, what's the weather like in London right now?
Oh, come on,
it seems to be a bit windy in London, England.
A bit windy.
That must be all the hot air.
I love the sort of tentative nature of the report. It seems to be a bit windy. Is it windy or not, Siri?
I can't commit.
Apparently it's 16 degrees and the sun's out.
Well, that seems gorgeous for London.
Yeah,
okay. It is.
Not bad.
And I bet you when it's celebrated in June, it's going to be raining.
It's going to rain all day.
Probably it's going to ruin those
thunderbolts
picnics.
And lightning. Very, very
well, was it you musing as to whether she'd send herself a telegram?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you know when you're
dear one,
you can get a telegram from the Queen when you're 100 that says, oh, you know, congratulations, you've made it to 100, blah blah blah. Thought, is she going to write herself a letter in 10 years to be like, yo, you made it, well done?
Well, does she? If she does, then she opens it. Does she have to act all surprised?
Yeah,
I wonder what this will be. Ooh, that's nice.
Dear me,
yes.
Or dear one,
dear
yes.
one.
My granny got a letter from the Queen.
Right,
she was 101.
Yeah, wow.
Tell us about the letter.
I don't know. I didn't see it myself.
Really?
Was
I just know that she got a letter.
No, it's printed and then she signs it. I don't know if she even signs it.
I imagine she has a stamp.
I imagine that when you open the letter, you get a sort of a fanfare, right?
I think someone actually delivers it to your door on a cushion, a velvet cushion.
Right, that's right. And you get like a little sort of fanfare type thing. Yeah.
So you don't want that if it's raining, because velvet in the rain.
It's probably got a wax.
That's what happens when you open the letter from the Queen.
Yeah.
Sounds
glitter.
Like
it's one
very
of those sound
serious
cards.
Announcement.
Yeah. You know, like the Christmas cards that have got songs in them? That's what
you
it is.
You've just turned 100.
Happy
what
birthday.
Next?
well done for being alive for that length of time.
Madge here.
You only ever hear the Queen speak, really, at Christmas, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
For the speech. Otherwise, we would have no idea. She'd be like Kate Moss, no idea what she sounds like.
I actually think that Kate Moss has a very deep voice.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so for listeners' benefit, Paul is afraid of flying insects.
Oh, that was brilliant, ladies and gentlemen. So what just happened is we were talking about Kate Moss's voice,
no,
as you could hear.
And
Paul just exploded with panic, dropping the microphone on the ground, screaming and
like
leaping,
girl, yeah.
leaping from his chair. He nearly jumped off the terrice in yeah. panic there.
And did a handstand.
But why? Why did that happen? It was because there was a little ladybird that landed on him.
I thought it was a wasp.
To be honest, okay, we need to, first of all, we need to explain what a ladybird is. It's like a little...
Oh,
little
we need to explain what ladybird is, but yes. All the other words that we've used in this podcast for the last 2 hours, we don't need to explain.
Well, yeah, to be honest, Paul, yeah, we could have explained those too, but let's explain the word ladybird.
On this one.
It's a bird.
It's not.
That's female.
It's definitely not.
It's like a little red...
Just Google it, I think.
Yeah.
Just Wikipedia it.
Just Wikipedia it.
Bugger off.
It's a little, Wikipedia?
It's a little red... Yeah, just Wikipedia it.
It's a Wikipedia made out of reed.
So a ladybird is like a little red beetle, and they fly through the air, and they can look a little alarming. And Paul freaked out when one landed on him just now. But to be honest, I did pretty much the same thing yesterday. I was walking back home after eating lunch down the street, and a ladybird came at me, right?
Said, give me your money.
And it came straight at me, and I didn't know what it was, and it was an immediate moment, and it was like the Matrix, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, when Neo sort of like leans over backwards, and the ladybird came flying past me.
Bullet.
Yeah, exactly. It was in bullet time, and like that, and the ladybird flew past me, and then I went home. And there were some people sitting in a cafe judging me, but
say silly Englishman.
I think they would have judged me anyway.
I wasn't attacked by a ladybird, but this morning I was walking Hugo to the creche, and a woman in front of me, her scarf, she had a sort of pink scarf wrapped around her neck, and it was quite long, and it like come down between her legs and gone between her legs, and it looked like she had a little tail on her bottom, and I could see people laughing, and then some tourists, this guy took a photo of her, and I felt like this was really sad. I felt like she was walking around.
Someone just some guy most monumental really belch.
You wouldn't have heard it, I don't think, on the microphone.
Amazing.
I didn't hear that. Someone burped?
Yeah, it was just like
belch.
It was really like, loud.
Depths of Mordor, I
didn't hear that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd missed it because I was otherwise engaged, but apparently there was there was a very loud burp there from someone in one of these apartments near us.
They obviously think that they're alone, enjoying a
either
burp.
That, they're listening to this live recording of Luke's English podcast, and his response to it was, like, okay, thanks for the comment.
Everyone's a critic.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Okay, so I'm sure we had
I was telling you about the tail.
That's right, you were. So they just
so people were laughing at her, and I felt, I don't know why this is relevant. I suppose it's street interaction, and I felt sorry for it. First of all, my first instinct was like, that is funny. I'd quite like a photo. It does look like she's got a pink tail, and then I thought, no, that's wrong. And so I thought, I'm going to tell her. So then I had to chase her. Hugo was on his bike, and it was really slow and noisy, and she was walking very fast with this tail. It looked ridiculous. And then I stopped her, and I was like, you look like you've got a tail.
And what did she say?
She just looked really confused.
She's like,
you look like you've got a tail. And then she realised, and she took the offending scarf out.
I see. Oh, the embarrassment of leaving the house with a scarf hanging out of the back of your trousers. Was that what it was?
The scarf had gone around her neck, and it was quite long, and then gone between her legs.
I see.
And it had ridden up. It was there, clenched up tight in the cheeks.
Oh, goodness me.
She really did look like she had a tail.
Right. Wow. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I think that may be a good way to end this. I think we reached a conclusion, didn't we?
Yeah.
To this discussion.
So basically we're saying royals, yes, but sort of.
Yeah. As you know, just we'll see if Prince Charles starts bandying around opinions. And we'll see. Also, to be honest, there's so many complicated things happening with the possible exit from the European Union and all that kind of thing. It's a bloody complicated...
Don't start going down that road.
It's a complicated time. This is not the time or place to talk about Brexit. I'm planning to talk about that, but not now. But thanks for coming onto the terrace, everybody.
Thank you for
having
me.
Us.
Thank you.
Again.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. And let's now, as the Fantastic Four, go off and save... the world.
Right. Are you Mr. Fantastic?
I suppose so.
Right.
I'll be teabag.
Wait a minute.
Okay, Google it.
You've got to explain that.
No, there's nothing to explain.
Just Wikipedia.
That's my superpower is I shoot tea at people.
Right.
Because I like tea, that's it.
Yeah. We're referring to a video that Paul's in.
Mm. Which you can find on the internet.
That's right, just Wikipedia it.
Just Google teabag, Paul Taylor.
But if we were the Fantastic Four, I suppose I would have, what's his name, Mr. Fantastic?
Mr. Fantastic.
I'd have to be Mr. Fantastic because he's kind of like the leader,
team
right?
Leader.
Yeah,
and I'm going a little bit grey. I've got a few grey hairs there.
Amber, obviously, the Invisible Woman.
The Invisible Woman, Amber.
I am the Invisible Woman.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How are you invisible?
Have a baby and just watch yourself become invisible
to men.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right. I live in a neighbourhood where women get a lot of attention. Nothing. I walk past unperceived or imperceived by the world at large. It's refreshing.
I'm sure that there are plenty of gentlemen and perhaps even ladies listening to this who would beg to differ with that opinion.
Mm.
Certainly, your voice is not... You may be invisible, your voice is... Not
is very visible.
Thank you.
In people's imaginations around the world.
Yes.
So you could be the Invisible Woman, and Paul, you've got to be the one who's on fire, right? Because you are so hot right
you
now.
You do need to be the one on fire.
He is in the sun.
I'm literally on fire
red.
Right now.
You're the human torch because you're in the sun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're so hot right now.
You are.
And that makes Tom the
I am the thing.
The thing.
Neither French nor English, but both. And at the same time, neither.
Amorphous
blob. Yes.
Made of stone.
Made of stone.
He's an interesting character, isn't he, the thing?
He is.
Isn't he?
Apparently.
Yeah.
He's like a huge man made of rock.
He's a golem, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
Not a golem as in Lord of the Rings.
Not Lord of the Rings.
No. Not like precious. But more kind of that sort of...
The old fashioned.
That really spoke to people.
No, because we have to establish that a golem was a word before Lord of the Rings.
It was.
To mean a sort of... a Frankenstein's monster type character made of stone
it's
or something.
Hebrew mythology made of clay,
clay,
I think.
Yeah. Mm.
Brought to life... By magic, sorry.
Interesting.
Some of your listeners may have a much clearer idea of this than I do.
Yeah, they probably do.
It is an
do.
Interesting myth.
Yes. Yeah. Straight over the head.
No, she was like, just bring it to a close, people. Okay. That's what she says. She's like, let's wrap this shit
I actually
up.
I have to just press the stop button, otherwise we will never, ever stop, okay?
All right,
thanks for being on the podcast,
thanks
guys.
Thanks very much. Thanks. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Luke's English podcast.
Can't touch this.
This is a masterpiece of the English language.
All righty then.
Just think of the accolades it's received over the years.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Really?
Yes.
I want to get into it, man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Luke's English podcast.
And this is Britain at its best.
You lucky people!
So that's it. Check out the page for the episode. There are a few notes and a brief summary of some of the main points in that conversation. So if you didn't understand something, you can just Google it or Wikipedia it. A reminder at this point about iTalkie before I say anything else. And I'm going to try and do this iTalkie mention using the voice of either Sean Connery or Roger Moore. I'm going to go for Sean Connery at the beginning, okay? So this is Sean Connery, a terrible Sean Connery impression, suggesting that you check out iTalkie, okay? Hello, my name's Bond, James Bond. Did you know that with iTalkie you can have your own rambling conversations with native English speakers, if you like? Or if you prefer, you can have properly structured English lessons too. And all from the convenience of your own internet connection at home or anywhere else. Okay, let's try and do this as Roger Moore, okay? They have loads of qualified teachers to choose from. And when you buy some lessons, iTalkie will give you a voucher worth 100... No, that's not working. I'll do it as myself. No, I'll do it as... Let's see, who am I going to do this? I'll do this as Al Pacino. Oh, they have loads of qualified teachers to choose from. Wow! And when you buy some lessons, iTalkie will give you a fucking voucher. They'll give you a voucher worth 100 iTalkie credits, which is a nice discount on future English lessons. I became Sean Connery there again at the end. Is that clear?
So, in all seriousness, to get that offer and to benefit from, English lessons with native English speakers on the internet, it's very convenient. Just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalkie logo on my website. Seriously, loads of people are using iTalkie. It's a well-established way of getting in touch with native English speakers to have English lessons and stuff, and you can do it from your own home. teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalkie logo on my website. So, I'm going to be on holiday for about a week, so I'm going to go a little bit quiet. So I've uploaded, you know, these four episodes in rather quick succession, but I will now be going quiet for a bit because I'm going on holiday for a week, and then I will be very, very busy at home marking student exam papers, the exam papers that I haven't been marking because I've been doing this. So I don't know when I'll be able to upload a new episode next, but I'm sure it won't be that long. And anyway, I've given you so many new episodes lately that you could probably do with a little break too. Or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you're desperate for even more. If you are desperate for more, then don't forget to check out my other podcast. I've got another podcast. That's right. I've got another podcast. That is, of course, A Phrasal Verb a Day, which is still alive. It's still going. I've certainly haven't been producing an episode of that every day as I intended to originally, but it's still going. I've made a couple of videos, YouTube videos for A Phrasal Verb a Day recently. So there are now over 130 episodes of A Phrasal Verb a Day. The episodes are much shorter than the ones on Luke's English Podcast, which is not difficult, really, but they're much shorter, and I get straight to the point in every single episode of that phrasal verb podcast, and I just focus on teaching you a new phrasal verb every time. Okay, and there's over 130 episodes now. It's all available free, and you shouldn't underestimate the importance of phrasal verbs in English. They are a vital part of fluent, expressive, natural English. So check out teacherluke.co.uk/PV. P for phrasal, that's P-H, like P for police, and V, V for vendetta, right? teacherluke.co.uk/PV for phrasal verb, and then you will find the episode archive, every single episode, you can listen to them. They've all got, almost all of them have got transcripts, and some of them have got videos, and A Phrasal Verb a Day is available on iTunes and all other forms of podcasting software. Okay, so check that out. Learn phrasal verbs, and if you need more, just listen to them. Maybe you haven't listened to that. Check it out. Right, that's it. Enough rambling. I'm off now, and I've got loads of exam marking to do. Have a nice day or night or morning or whatever, and I'll speak to you soon. You might have noticed that I added a couple of new jingles to this episode. I haven't spoken about them yet, but there's been a couple of new little jingles in there, and I've created these jingle mega mixes, and just to play this episode out, whatever that means, just to end the episode, I'm going to play the entire mega jingle for Luke's English Podcast here at the end. It's quite long, it's about a minute long, but I'm just going to play it to you. Alright, so that's it. Enjoy the mega jingle, and I will speak to you on the podcast again soon. For now, though, goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is a journey into
the English language.
A journey into
the DNA of the English language.
Really?
The DNA of the English language. Now, that's a really quite a strong claim.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Who are you?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
You know who I'm talking to.
I'm a school teacher. I teach English composition.
Oh, really?
Yes! Oh, really? Yes!
That's an idiot.
You don't know what that is?
And I don't know what this is.
This is Luke's English Podcast.
Can't touch this.
This is
a masterpiece of the English language.
All righty then.
Just think of the accolades it's received over the years.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
And I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Really?
Yes!
I want to get into it, man!
Ladies and gentlemen,
This is Luke's English Podcast.
And this is Britain at its best.
Oh, you lucky people!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.